I was originally going to teach on Thanksgiving, but I decided not to, but I didn't think I could leave it out completely. So, for those of you who like to eat ham on Thanksgiving, I have a little scripture for you. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. It is received with thanksgiving, for it is a sacrifice by the word of God in prayer. So, you can eat ham on Thanksgiving. It's okay. All right. I'm going to be speaking out of John today, the Gospel of. Something that's on my heart is always reaching the, I wouldn't say the lost, but the lost who are in other religions, specifically Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Whenever they come to my house, I am really excited to talk to them, and they have no idea what they're getting into when they show up. I did actually, the last time one came, I was very abrupt with them because I didn't have time. We were doing something serious, and I just told them that their religion was blasphemy, and I went on their way. Felt bad about that, but anyway, 1 John starts off, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the question is, what is the Word? And we know that the Word is Jesus. So if you read Revelations 19, verse 13 and 16, it says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God." And then if you go down to verse 16, and it says, "And he hath the vesture, and on his thigh is written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So, sorry, I'm just nervous. And the same was, I'm going to go back to John. It says, "And the same was the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him, and was not anything made that was made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." It's hard to speak with this group of people because they are so adamant, and they'll say, "Oh, well, the Holy Spirit talks to me," and I'll, you know, and then you bring out a scripture that says, you know, what, are you sure it's the Holy Spirit of God? And there's just a myriad of scriptures you can bring out. But when you speak to them, you got to touch their heart because that's the only thing that's going to break down that wall, because they have a wall and it's there, and it's very serious to them. I mean, they would die for their religion. And so you just have to love them. And actually, a lot of people will be like, when I said, you know, when I told them their religion was blasphemous, that was not loving at all. And that's actually would actually probably add more to that wall. You have to just speak with them and spend time with them, and it will break down. If you go, I'm going to go over to, let me consult my notes. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'm back in Gospel of John, verse 6. And the same was a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he is not that he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. I'm going to stop for a minute. Lord, let every word that comes out of my mouth be from you, and let me speak your word, and don't let me speak my own words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I meant to do that in the start. Now I'm going to go to 1 John. 1 John is actually one of my favorites. It has a lot of very powerful scriptures. If I'm going to skip to chapter 4. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come of the flesh is of God." And then skipping on to verse 9, it says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him." So in talking to them, you have to, because their scriptures are skewed, and you have to show them, you know, I mean, this is the Bible, and I know you have your own Bible, but we're speaking out of our Bible, and there's verse after verse that says that Jesus is the Son of God, and they'll bring up Hebrews, they'll go into Hebrews where it says that Jesus is the begotten of God. But if you study what that means, because you think, oh, wow, because begotten means born of, and you think, well, if Jesus was born of God, that maybe, yeah, he was not originally God, and God made him. But that's not true. What it's referring to in Hebrew, actually it's in Psalms and it's in Acts as well, what it's referring to is when God and Jesus created the earth, he said, okay, I'm giving you dominion over the earth. I'm making you trustee over the earth. So it wasn't saying, I have born you. It was saying, I am now saying that I'm giving you this task. This task is yours. You are now trustee over the earth, and I'm not the judge. You are the judge. So God is love, and Jesus is the judge, and the Holy Spirit leads us to him. Still in the first John, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And then skipping down to verse 18, this is the verse that I... There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hateth torment, and he that feareth not is made in perfect love. So, I guess I don't know why I have a heart for them. I guess it's Jesus that has put them on my heart, because when I see them, I see that. I mean, they put on this face that they're happy and that they're excited and they're glad to talk to you, but you can see that they're really hurting inside. And I'd love to break down that wall so that they're able to know the truth and to feel the joy that I know that every day when I wake up that God is good and that he loves us and that he just wants us to be with him for eternity. Going on to chapter 5 in 1 John. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the three are one. So then again it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, so the Word being Jesus. I'm going back to John, the Gospel of. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own received him. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In my life, it's odd because I grew up as a, you know, I always wanted to actually grow up in a household that was totally pagan. And then when I'd come to God, it would be this awesome thing because I would be, you know, a Christian now. But I wasn't. I grew up a Christian my entire life. And it actually made it, I think it actually makes it harder because if you do live in sin and you see God, you're like, oh, yeah, that's obvious. I'm a sinner. I'm coming to God. And but when you grow up a Christian, you think your whole life you're good and you have to learn that you're not. And it was actually when my dad asked me to do this, at first I was so excited, and then I started thinking about it. I thought, well, this is crazy that I should get up there and preach. But it's been a blessing because I've spent more time in the Word in the last 2 weeks than I have probably in the last 6 months. So, and it's fun because you'll be reading, you're like, that's where that scripture is. I love that scripture. I always wondered where that was. And me being a pastor's son, I should have known that. So, but either from the world or being from the church, it is amazing because God can work in your life either way. Sorry, I probably need to slow down too. I'm probably talking really fast. He is such a blessing in my life. I'm going to probably go off on a lot of tangents, but right now our economy is terrible, and I have never been so busy in my entire life. I know that it's not because of the economy or whoever's in charge. I know it's because of God, because I don't do anything. You know, I mean, I just do what God tells me to, and He, you know, He's able to bless me. So, and I can, that's another thing I can share to the lost, or to, you know, it's just, they say, well, you know, why are you flourishing? Because a lot of people ask me that. How do you have so much work? I said, it's just all God. God gives it to me. And some people want to know and some people don't, but it's amazing. I'm going to go ahead. The funny thing was, actually, when I started this, I was going to read Hebrews, and I thought, well, and the strange thing was, I had not even realized that Dad had been teaching out of Hebrews the entire time this year. And I guess it's because he never reads anything. He'll just start preaching, and he'll say, I'm reading out of whatever, and then he never actually reads it. So I didn't even realize it. And Mary's like, oh, yeah, he's been preaching out of Hebrews the whole year. Oh, okay. So God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers and by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So when Jesus came down to earth, He took the place of the prophets, and now we don't need prophets to tell us. I mean, a lot of people say, well, prophets are great. They can tell me what I need to do and whatever. But you actually have a personal relationship with God, and He can speak through into you. You know, you just spend time with Him daily, and He'll tell you exactly what to do. And even in the most mundane things, you know, what you should eat, what you should wear, when you should leave. There's times in my business when I have not left the house when I knew I should, and I know it was God, because I'll end up meeting somebody at a place that I was going to get some supplies, and I never would have met that person, and I got a job out of it. And I think that was either God orchestrated me to be procrastinating, or He turned me being a procrastinator into something good. So, I mean, He can take anything out of any, make any situation work to blessing. So, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by His word of His power, when He made Him by Himself purged our sins, sat fast down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Again, it keeps using the name Word in the place of Jesus. Being made so much better than the angels, and this is where they get messed up right here. And being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. For unto which the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son. This is the day I've begotten thee. And again, I will be to Him a father, and He shall be to me a son. If you were to go to Acts, it actually expounds on that, and it's talking about the two times when it says He's begotten Him. The first time was at the beginning of the world, and the second time was actually when He was raised from the dead. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And the angels saith unto Him, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire? And that actually comes from Psalms. It's a scripture that David wrote, not me, of course. But the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. So again, I know I'll keep jumping around, but it comes back to, there are scriptures all throughout the Bible that prove that Jesus is God. And that, so not only is He the Son of God, He is the God. I guess therefore, our way is the right way. that's the mentality. You can't have that mentality. I mean, you have to have that mentality, but you can't say that to them, because then they'll immediately shut off. And so you have to be soft with them. I guess something that I've been praying about lately is starting a type of ministry to reach the youth. Because our young generation is a generation that's going to be growing up, and if they don't receive the right teaching from the beginning, you know, when they get into college and then out of college, they're going to head the wrong way. But if they have the right teaching, then they're going to be, you know, powerful in the body of Christ. It actually all stems from a passion that God put in me years ago, probably many, many years ago in high school, to write music to reach the youth. I felt like probably my original thought was wrong, which was if I get so popular that people will listen to me, I think that was my head not thinking. And now that I see it come full circle, I see it to the point where I wouldn't be in the forefront, but it would be something that I would do and that others would be blessed by, that I would, you know, use it as a witnessing tool and not as a concert of 10,000 people, you know, dancing to my music. So I just think that something that I've had a hard time in my life is witnessing to people, because I mean the scripture says that, you know, just, you know, your light will shine and people will know. And so I won't witness, because I think, well, people can just see me and see that I'm a Christian. And actually, I have it's surprised me a few times in my life, people have come up and go, I know that you're a Christian. I'm like, well, that's good. I'm glad that you saw that, because I don't know how you saw that. So praise the Lord. I can remember actually vividly two or three times, there was a young man that at a job that I worked at, and I was able to witness to him, and that was a blessing to me, because actually his life was changed by that. And I know that wasn't me at all, because I just, you know, I didn't witness to him. I just lived my life, and, you know, I hung around with everybody, but I didn't swear, and I didn't go out drinking with him. And he said, you know, there's something different about you. Not that there's anything wrong with drinking. Just don't get drunk. So another instance, it was actually at the same job, another gentleman that I witnessed to, he was at first he was an atheist, and then he became an agnostic. And then he came up to me one day, he says, you'll be so proud of me. I said, what? He goes, well, I married a Catholic girl. I said, oh, okay. And I said, great, awesome. And he goes, but I still don't understand this thing about Christianity. He goes, you know, all you Christians say that, you know, once you become saved, you don't sin anymore. I said, no, that's not true. I said, you still continue to sin. You just know where to take it after you've sinned. So you just take it to Jesus and he forgives you. And he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Things that come up into my mind when I think about witnessing to people is I also remember one day when I was in a store one day and some girl just said, oh, I have a headache. And I just on the spot prayed for her. I would never do that. I would never pray for anybody on the spot. Especially with like 10 people behind me in the line, and I just started praying for her. And it was just so weird, but you know, you always know that that's the Spirit. Because I mean, even though I'm outgoing, I would never do that. I always wondered this day if she ever got rid of her headache. But I guess going back to reaching the lost, it's important because I mean, this church is awesome and being here is wonderful and the word is amazing, but other people need to hear it and we need to reach out and bring other people in. I mean, I'm not good at it. If I were to point fingers, I wouldn't. I'd have to point the finger at myself first. I don't talk to any of my neighbors and tell them, hey, you ought to come to my church. Actually, I think I had talked to one and said, you need to come to my church. And they visited and never came back. But they need the word. I mean, because I guess why the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, they do that. They go out and they go out and they talk to all their neighbors and they go to other countries and they witness. Well, they're leading people down the wrong path. And to speak to them, we need to know what they, you know, why they think the way they think and what scriptures that we can give them, even in their own Bible, that will, you know, show them, hey, that's not the way. So I guess what I'd like my ministry to be would be to speak to those people and also to the youth, because the youth are going to be this nation, and this nation needs a strong youth because they're being led astray by the media and whatnot. It's amazing because I know some young people that aren't in the church, and they're on both sides. I have a young man that I know whose family doesn't go to church, but they're believers. And then I know other young people who you wonder why you talk to them and you go, you know, why do you believe this way? And then they start speaking and they'll tell you something and you go, wow, that is so amazing. I would have never thought of that. I don't understand why you believe that way, but now that you say that, it makes sense. But here's the truth. I mean, something came up to me. Somebody said to me, I asked them, I said, you know, how could anybody, especially a Catholic, believe in abortion? And they said, well, we don't believe in abortion. We just believe in the right person's right to choose. And I said, well, but you're a Catholic. How could you believe in that? And they said, well, we don't want to step on anybody's toes. But until they said that to me, I never understood that. I didn't understand how their heart wouldn't know that. I mean, you would automatically know what's still wrong. You know, you just, actually, after I ended up talking to him, I would say that, well, I would say he changed his mind. But if you don't talk to people, they won't change their mind. And if you don't, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to beat them over the head with the word. You need to just get to know them. I mean, even if it's just your neighbor next door or someone, you know, that you work with, just get to know them and share the word with them if it comes to that. But when they start to see your life, they will notice that there's something different in your life. And it will end up blessing them. I mean, there are more people that you bless that you don't know about than you think. I mean, you go through your daily life every day, and when you say to someone, hey, have a great day, or, you know, it was a blessing to see you, you don't know how much that changes their life. And that's the Spirit speaking through you and lifting them up. Somebody said to me one time, why do you say, how are you doing? We're both Christians. You say, hey, it's a blessing to see you, because we know how you're doing. You're perfect. I mean, if you're not perfect, you're not listening to Jim's teaching. I was going to make a joke about filling my dad's shoes, but my feet are bigger than his. So he is doing good, by the way. I saw him last night, and he's in good spirits, excited. He's getting he's writing a book that you guys will all get to read. God is good, for sure. It's fun as you read through the Bible, actually, it was funny because I kept doing, you have to dig in yourself, because I have a Scofield Bible, and it has little references, and it'll say this verse is here, and this, and go look at this verse. And you read it, and it's like, well, that's the same verse. I thought you were going to give me some sort of insight into what that verse means, but it doesn't. So you end up having to dig yourself, and you have to ask the Spirit, you know, where do I go look and find the answer to this? Or, you know, can you give me insight? And he will. As you're reading through the Word, he'll say, you know, turn to this chapter and this verse, and you can read it a couple of times, and sometimes it doesn't make any sense, and all of a sudden your eyes will just open up, and you will understand the question that you had, and you'll say, thank you, God. I mean, and it's sometimes when I'll read it, I'll have to go ask Dad, and I said, Dad, this is the answer that I think the Holy Spirit gave me. Is this correct? And he goes, oh, yeah, you're dead on. So it's true. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You just need to trust that he is, because it's a still small voice, but it's there, and you can hear him. Something that I forgot to read, in the chapter, in the first Gospel of John, it says in the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and if you go down to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, and he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of this fullness all we have received of grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. The grace is, when we speak to people, that's what we have. We have to be gentle and kind, because I know a lot of people, like there have been plenty of times when I've been out on the street and somebody will come up to me and say, are you a Christian? And I'll say, and I said this one time foolishly, and I'll say, yeah. And they'll say, well, how do you know? I said, well, my father's a pastor. And they said, well, that doesn't make you a Christian. I'm like, leave me alone. I know I'm a Christian. We can't be like that, because that is a real turnoff to the world when you beat them over the head with the Bible. But you spend time with them. I'm going to get back to that. Is you just spend time with them, and you have, you know, I mean, they'll see the peace and the grace in you, and they'll know that there is something different about you. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So no man's seen the Father, but Jesus is seen the Father, and man has seen Jesus, and we have Jesus in us. So when people see us, they see the Father, because We are the mirror image of Jesus, and he is the mirror image of God. So, I mean, they may not know what they're saying because they're in the world and they don't know Jesus, but they will. They do know that it's different from what they, you know, from what they know. Speaking of the world, because, again, I never lived in the world. So, as in, you know, I grew up a Christian my entire life. So when I speak to the world, it's, I don't understand the way they think. And so when I have to talk to them and get to know them and understand why they think the way they think, and where they're coming from, a lot of it's, you know, they grew up that way, or they went to school and they were taught that way, or, you know, the neighborhood they grew up in, and that's the way they think, or they just have never been told any different. Going on to verse 19, and this is the record of John, when Jesus sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "And art thou that prophet?" And he answered and said, "No." And when they said unto him, "Who art thou, and what we may give an answer to them that sent us, and what sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Those are going to be the hardest ones to reach, are the Pharisees, because they think they are holy, and they their hearts are hardened, but they can be reached. 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I think the last thing I'd like to do before we close is I'd like to pray for Mr. Brown. Could we have some guys lay hands on him while we pray?
Can you pray for my dad too, Dave?
As well, yeah. Okay. Lord, we thank you for bringing to Mr. Brown all these miracles that you did in his life. They were blessings that you have given him. And we thank you that you love him so much, and you're not ready for him to leave this earth. You're not ready for him to go anywhere. You've got so much more for him to do. So we bind this cancer and we cast it from his body. We give all the doctors all the wisdom. We thank you that you're going to give them wisdom and the know-how of what to do. And if the answer is, hey, it's gone, then so be it. If the answer is, this is what we need to do, we know that you are in control. And also we thank you for Mr. Wilson. And we thank you that you know what's going on, regardless of what the doctors say, and that you are going to take this situation and be glorified through it, and that we're all going to say hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, thank you for Terry, and we rebuke the cancer that's in her body. Cancer is nothing to you, Father. It's insignificant in the whole picture. So we bind it, Father, and we cast it out of her body into the pit. And just pour peace and joy all over her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.